Welcome to another episode of Sitting Around Talking Movies. And joining me today, Bill Bregoli, as always.
As always.
Bill McCuddy's here.
I am.
By phone, we have Lisa Rossman.
She's doing her dishes.
Yes, she's doing her dishes. I could hear water running in the background while she's doing this. Mike Sargent will be joining us later. But we're going to talk about, in a few minutes, the new Clint Eastwood movie, 1517 to Paris.
Oy.
And Mike saw 50 Shades Free, the third movie in the trilogy of the 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Lisa, you must just be sick you didn't get to see 50 Shades Freed.
Yeah, Lisa's very upset. And Peter Rabbit. We're going to talk about Peter Rabbit. But we're going to start out talking about something that you've all been waiting to hear. So Lisa, Bill, McCuddy, and myself, a couple of weeks ago, taped the first of, it used to be called Talking Pictures. Now it's called Talking Movies.
For legal reasons. Crack me up.
And it's going to be on CUNY TV, and it'll be on CUNY TV on this.
Which we should say is a PBS station.
Well,
so
it's not really PBS. They have an affiliation. Well, we're in Bill's apartment. Here comes Mike Sargent. Say hello, Mike Sargent.
And Daisy, we heard drive
from Mike Sargent.
There you go. And we're talking to
Lisa Rossman's joining us by phone, and we were just saying how upset she must be not to see 50 Shades Freed.
All right, well, Bill.
I think you can say how upset she is not to see.
I think devastated, actually. Devastated.
All right, well, anyway, we're gonna talk about how you can watch the show and what's going on with this. So we taped the show, and it's only going to be quarterly to begin with. And then hopefully they'll
then
get
it's going to be annual.
And we could,
then
we
it's going to be it, biannual.
We could make it its own show. But there's a 4.5 minute segment of Talking Movies with Lisa, Bill, and myself, part of a show called Arts in the City. And that show, again, it's on CUNY TV, which you can see if you have Charter Spectrum, formerly Time Warner, on channel 75. And if you have Cablevision also, or Optimum, also channel 70. I'm sorry, that would be channel 77 if you have Cablevision or Optimum.
Is that true across the United States or just in New York?
Just in New York.
Yes.
Okay. Say that again, Lisa. I'm sorry.
No, they heard it from your other mic.
Oh, okay.
This is the most low-tech thing I've
okay.
ever seen.
And if you have Verizon.
Thanks for your patience listening to
if
this.
If you have Verizon, then it's on channel 30. And here's when it's on.
But here's the real point. It's going to also be available online, and that's when people around the country can see it.
Yes.
So
I'm going to send links out. Are you doing your dishes or something, Lisa? I hear water running in the background.
Just keep on talking, man.
Okay. So
behaving like a real woman.
The mic picks up everything.
What else could she be watching?
Okay, so the show will be on, and again, I caution you all, there's two versions of the show. Within this show, Arts in the City, there's a 4.5 minute segment of Talking Movies with Bill, Lisa, and myself. And then there'll
the
be
the premiere of which we're talking about the Oscars.
Right, it's an Oscar prediction episode where we're going to predict, in that show, we will predict Best Picture, Best Actor, and Best Actress. And then there will be a longer, like 12, 14-minute version that does all the other categories. So if you add the two things up, you're getting like a 17, 18-minute Talking Pictures, Talking Movie show.
Wow. Are you as spine-tingled as the rest of us?
And we will do another show in a few months. And it's on this Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. What is the date?
But it doesn't matter. What we need to tell people is Tuesday is
Valentine's
Day.
Valentine's
but the website is far more important than
know,
these
I'm
New
get
York
to the
telecasts.
Website.
It's going to be online, and a longer version will be available online.
Thank you,
Neil carefully edited for us.
Yes.
That is correct. So, right, CUNY.TV, CUNY.TV. Click on the show Arts in the City. When they post the March edition, if you see the February edition, if you see the January edition there, they haven't posted the new one yet, but it will be on TV on those channels. Again, channel 75 in Spectrum and cable vision.
So the important thing, which is obvious from this whole discussion, is how easy it is to find us.
All right. Anyway, it's on this Valentine's Day, Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
We'll also try and put the link on, again, when we put it up.
So basically, it's on the second Tuesday of the month and the fourth Tuesday of the month at 8 o'clock. It's also on the second and fourth Wednesday at 8 a.m.
Neil, you're going crazy here. Listen to me. It's online, folks. We'll tell you how to hook up to it. Follow us on Twitter. Lisa's right. That's the way to see it.
Right. I will send links. I will give you all the information on Twitter.
I make faces at how wrong those men are. The usual old stuff that everybody hated them of.
Give me that again, Lisa.
No, it's fine. Okay, so what do we... So Lisa has a little bit of news, too. She's like, can't tell us too much about it, but she has an exciting project.
She doesn't want to talk about it. We don't have to talk about it.
All right.
Leave it alone.
We're Lisa, probing here. We're reporters.
So, Lisa, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about our little talking movies show that we did the other day?
Well, okay, one thing I want to say is that I think we can all agree that we totally dig the CUNY TV people.
They're great.
A positive bunch, a great set, and, you know, because the movies from 2017 were an interesting group unto themselves, I think that the conversation that we had about what movies are probably going to win, what movies we want to win, what performers might take home some Golden Boys, was our usual spicy conversation. And we also got into a little bit more of a debate about things like hashtag MeToo. So, in other words, it was us up to our old tricks, and I don't know about you guys, but it felt really good to be able to do that again.
And on a great set. How about that set?
You said the set, yeah. Who's not listening now?
Lessons from Neil's School of Listening.
No.
That's exactly what
we
said.
We tweeted out some pictures, and I just want people to know that it looks better. We think we're getting better treatment, and it can be great.
The CUNY people are terrific. As Bill and Lisa just said, the set is wonderful. They couldn't have been nicer. And, you know, as Lisa also just said, you know, I've been trying so hard to get this back on the air. And just I looked at Lisa at one point towards the end when we took a little break. And I just said, soak it in, because I just, you know, was wondering if we would ever get the chance to do this again. And the fact that we can do this again now, and that we were on, you know,
quarterly,
this nice set in this great studio with great people.
Really good people, like just good vibes all around, but made it easier for us to get into our usual friendly, feisty dynamic, shall we say.
Yeah, and watch the show, because I feel pretty good about those Oscar selections, predictions. So if you're doing an Oscar pool.
To win your Oscar pool is what we're really saying.
Exactly.
Well, what I said, not what they said.
But
Bill, sure.
But it's fun. I mean, it's me, Bill, and Lisa. And again, it'll only be it's quarterly, you know, and it's short. But
so far, the more people watch, the more people are into it, the more excitement gets generated, the more that we may be able to make this project could gain some momentum. So definitely tune in.
That's it. And you know, write CUNY, tell them that you're so happy to see the show back on the air.
Watch it first, please. But we think you're gonna like it.
Yeah, we think you're gonna like it. It's if you like the old talking pictures, it's the same crew. We're doing the same thing. We're having the same fights, and it's a lot of fun. And it's great to be back, you know. And with any luck, we'll, like Lisa said, we'll get it to be a weekly thing like it used to be. That's what they want.
And again, the important thing is continue to follow us all on Twitter. We'll definitely tell you the website that you can see it on. And Lisa's going to go back to cleaning her sinuses. She's got a neti pot there, apparently. And so we're going to let you go. But thanks for joining us. And we're going
to. You're right. Although I don't want to say what this new project is. It has kept me super busy, and I'm afraid that I am a little behind schedule lately.
Well, now wait a minute. You're talking about this pilot thing that you've been tweeting out about, right? Wait, Lisa, you're talking about not about our new project, but you have a new project also, is what you're talking about.
I do. I have a new thing cooking, and it's kept me a little bit nuts.
Well, that's exciting.
Behind on what's going on with February film, which, as you know, I always think is boring anyway.
No, we can say it's a movie project, and that's about all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's exciting. And there's some big names in it.
Share and more ways to share it with you.
Great.
So let me ask you this. If this other project comes to fruition, Are you moving to L.A. to do this? Or
oh,
you...
God, no. You know how much I hate L.A. Of
so you would just go out there periodically to tape this thing if that pilot on that other project you're working
with. For one thing, as we all know, my cat is a Brooklyn cat. She's not a California cat, so we have to keep it real.
All right. Well, we wish you luck with that. And Lisa,
break a leg.
Yeah, Lisa, Bill, and I watch us Tuesday night, Valentine's Day at 8 o'clock on CUNY TV, Channel 75. If you have
a great conversation, boys. And Mike, I'm sorry I didn't get to trade insults with you today.
I too am sorry.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. We'll
All
talk
right,
to
thanks,
you next
Lisa.
Time.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. We'll speak to you soon. And that's it.
Talking about Valentine's Day, Mike is the one standing soldier. And do I understand this correctly, Mr. Sergeant, that if people want so badly to see 50 Shades of Grey, that there's a marathon version now that you can go to starting this weekend where they play all three in a row and you have to get there at like 1 o'clock and you see the first two and then finally you say 50 Shades Freed?
Well, you know, but you don't see 50 Shades Free. Okay, but yeah, but you know that makes sense. I mean, when you see, you've seen the film?
No.
Oh, you have.
Thank God,
it?
No.
Have you seen?
No, you're the. No. That's, I said
oh,
you're the okay, lone
that's
soldier
that's
here.
Right. Well, here's what I will say.
Standing
a,
tall.
Someone I went with had. They said, "Well, it seems."
Did you
like,
bring your kid again?
Yeah. Right? It seems like Twilight for the adult set. And you know, here's my take on 50 Shades. 50 Shades overall is a female fantasy. Blatant female fantasy, and there's plenty of male fantasy films.
But not even a good one.
Well, you know, I don't really think it's for us to say, okay? Because, you know, who's to say the male fantasies we think are so great are so great? I will say this, that it's definitely not the best one, okay? It's definitely cheesy, but no cheesier than the others.
She gets married.
She does get married. She gets married in the opening scene. It's so bizarre that I thought it was a dream. But I will say that the one thing that does happen in this film, okay, because, you know, the marathon thing makes sense because if you're a fan, they show flashbacks to all the other films and you're like, oh, those moments and we're finally here at the end of this book series. But it's an interesting thing that happened as a result of 50 Shades where it became a huge, huge seller and women are falling into this. But the movie... This last one doesn't really know if it wants to be a thriller or a romantic movie because there are these thriller elements.
I know it becomes a thriller. I know that
on
she's...
On a scale of 1 to 10 or on my Big Apple rating scale...
Of 1 to 50.
I would have given the first 50 Shades of Grey movie half a wormy apple. It was such a piece of shit. I couldn't believe it. And my wife and we went with this other couple where the other woman in the couple, they loved the book and apparently having not read the book, all the all those... S&M scenes, which is the titillating part of the book, are actually removed from the movie 50 Shades of Grey. So, you know, I don't
My wife couldn't get through it. My wife stopped halfway through it and said, we're not watching this anymore.
It was just terrible. Everybody thought it was terrible.
I can't say...
Then I didn't see the second one, but I heard
that's
even
worse. Remember how hyped it was? Remember how hyped it was? It was the most hyped event. This was going to be the greatest movie since Gone with the Wind that had ever played in theaters, and it just laid a giant turd. I thought. I mean,
well,
what am I saying? It made half a billion dollars, I think.
They made two more. Because
well, not really, because the others, it's got a series. You got to finish it.
Not really. What was that, Bill Brigoli? What was that movie? The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Correct. Yeah, they made three
of those. Well, actually, there
is
a second one on the way.
Yes.
I've been hearing that for years, though.
No, second American.
Official. They just
a second English.
You got to understand. Yeah. They continued that book series with other writers.
Well, they did three. They did the Stieg Larsson books. They did the three books in a Swedish version.
Yeah.
And then they did one with Daniel Craig and Rooney Mara.
Right.
And
where I said he was the Bond girl. Because
right.
He was like the co-star.
Yeah, exactly. And they've recast it. They have a new director. And it is on its way. There was a press release about it this week.
But that wasn't really that bad. I mean, why didn't they make a second one of those right away?
He's saying they are. Well, but not right away. Yeah, I, who knows? I mean, I don't think it made that much money. The first one, I thought it was slick and good. Stellan Skarsgård was great.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
Yeah, I thought it was kind
of 50 Shades of Grey made a lot of money.
Oh, half a billion dollars, I said two times ago.
50 Shades of Grey made a lot of money.
How about 50 Shades Darker? The second one, did that make...
It made decent.
Apparently enough to make the
third one. Yeah.
So we talked to Dakota Johnson.
That's
and
right.
I saw this interview, and I got to tell you, it's painful to watch. I don't mean to be mean, although it's going to sound that way.
They don't like each other.
She can't put a sentence together. I know the two stars don't like each other, but she was sitting alone, and the studio had to manipulate her one quote that we're going to hear just to get anything out of her. It's really, there's a jump cut in the middle of it.
She's making the talk show circuit. She's kind of like put sentences together on.
Well, you know, take a listen to this. What's she talking about?
She's talking about her character's goals in life.
Figuring out what it is she wants to do with her life, with her career, and then also with her body in a sexual way, and being brave and honest and adventurous. And I think that in the third film, in Freed, it's a kind of a beautiful, uninhibited, equal sexual relationship.
All right, so you've heard this bite, and let me tell you that not only is there video editing, but I, as a radio editor, had to cut out a bunch of ums and ers, and I hope you don't hear them on the bite, but she took some work.
Yeah.
Do you think that she hates? You think she hates doing this? You think she's so glad that her contractual obligation to doing these shitty movies is over?
Please. Well, how many movies has she done in between that?
Yeah, she's not a huge star.
She's not going
to
be.
I liked that rom com, How to Pick Up a Guy or something. No, it was
Landline. No, that wasn't.
No, it was.
How to Date or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer was in it.
Yeah, it was funny.
Well, I have to say, the male lead.
Jamie Dornan, I think his name is.
Jamie Dornan, yes. Jamie Dornan's a pretty wooden guy.
Okay, so so let's move on to a movie that three of the four of us saw. My Bronx accent slipping.
The Train Wreck.
Yes. The 1517 to Paris, directed by Clint Eastwood. So Mike Sargent saw it. I saw it. Bill McCuddy saw it. So this is based on a true story.
And we have a little sound from Clint Eastwood, by
Good.
The way.
This is based on a true story. Of these three friends since childhood, which we learned that they were friends since childhood in the movie, which is completely unnecessary, their backstory, which was shown in the movie. But nonetheless...
More padding than Fat Bastard.
Right. This movie. They show you them in school and how they were the truant kids, the ones that were always being called into the...
And Christian, and that's the important... One of the important messages here that everyone that likes this movie, and there are a few people who do, say that it has a strong middle America Christian ethic.
Well, the story is about these three guys were on a train heading to Paris, and there was a terrorist aboard the train. True story. And these three guys who became heroes averted... what could have been many, many, multiple deaths on this train by this gun-wielding terrorist. And they made a whole movie. Now, this whole incident in real time probably took 10 minutes. So they, as Bill
said... Not even.
Yeah. Well, in the movie, it's like 4 minutes. But they pad this movie out to show you the backstories of these three guys. And the three guys are not professional actors. The hook here is that they're played by the actual three guys that were on the train and stopped the terrorism attack.
Airman Spencer Stone. I'm just going to give him a shout out. Alec Scarlatos and Anthony Sadler.
Now,
play
now
themselves.
Nothing. Now these guys. I mean, they did a real tremendous act of heroism, and I give them. I salute them. For
the
that.
Real act of heroism,
but,
of being
you
in
know,
this movie.
They're not actors. And when Bill McCuddy and I walked out of the screening room, I said, "Yeah," and they're not real actors. And Bill goes, "Yeah, you think?" And because
if I had been traveling with these three guys, I would have let the terrorists shoot me.
Stop. You're a cruel man.
Well, it's not. You like this movie?
Okay.
I hated this movie.
I can't say I liked it, but what I can say is it's an interesting experiment, okay? It's an experiment because I think Clint Eastwood, because he's had success with this before, using non-actors, most famously with Chief Dan George, and that, and he got this.
That's a lot different than the three leads.
Well, he also.
Chief Dan George.
What's the Get Off My Lawn? Chief Dan George.
What movie was that?
That was.
Guy from Little Big Man, Chief Dan George?
Chief Dan George.
Yeah.
Before he.
But he was before that.
Little Big Man. His first film was Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood directed him, got such a good performance out of him.
Thunderbolt and. No.
Ronco Billy?
No. Come on. Way before that. Not High Pleasure. Outlaw Josie Wales. Wills.
Oh, The Outlaw Josie.
Outlaw Josie Wills. Okay. It was a great film. And so he had that, and he was very successful. As a matter of fact, I believe Chief Dan George got nominated for an Oscar.
I think you're
got
right.
nominated for Little Big Man, I think.
Right. So,
for best supporting
him,
actor.
Him getting people to be themselves is something he, as a director, has been doing for decades now. And he did the same thing with What's Get Off My Lawn?
Gran Torino.
Gran Torino.
Oh, some of those gang members
some
were
of those
real.
Gang members.
Yeah, those are supporting roles. This is like the three main guys in this movie.
I'm just saying that's what's interesting to me, that he's done this, had success, but it doesn't work because
these
guys.
But they are wooden.
They are wooden.
Their backstories are the most boring.
Apparently, Jamie Dornan gave them acting lessons.
It's hard to play yourself. Mike, their backstories were the most uninteresting stories you could possibly imagine.
First, and they found three mediocre actor kids so that it didn't look bad when they grew up to be three mediocre
actors. Judy Greer and Jenna Fisher, who are completely wasted in the film, that they have such great dialogue, is like, my kid is much better at these subjects in school than you give him credit. But, I mean,
he doesn't have ADD. We're going to talk to God about it.
You know, and I like Jenna Fisher, and I like Judy Greer, but the script is terrible. And then the kids, when you're not seeing them as kids, bonding as friends, which is no Stand By Me on any stretch of the imagination. Believe me, it's very boring. You see them as adults touring Europe before they hop on this train to Paris. And it is so mundane. Well, gee, I think we should go to this bar.
Well, that's what I said. These guys are total snoozes. They have one night out in Amsterdam.
I'll have a beer. Okay, then I'll have one too. Well, I think I'll just have water because I was really hungover last night.
We better get back and go to bed because we have a big day tomorrow. They must say that three times.
Should we go to Paris? Everybody says that we should skip it and stay in Amsterdam. Well, we did buy the tickets already. Well, okay, but Amsterdam is good.
These are the only three 20-something-year-olds not trying to get laid on a European vacation.
Well, one guy goes on a semi-date
The two of them pick one girl up, but look.
Yeah, then they pick this girl up on a boat, and that goes nowhere.
But here's the money shot.
We're going
the money shot on the train. The money shot on the train, without giving too much away, is basically over in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
They overpower him. I really don't want to go into too much about how this plays out because it's so mundane. But it literally is the equivalent, I was telling somebody, of, you know how when an elevator door starts to close and somebody puts their arm in and holds it for people? Imagine if they made a movie out of that. Because literally the action sequence in this moment is the guy comes out of a bathroom. He's got a gun. One of the three guys wrestles him and finally the other two join him.
Yeah, and
that's it.
And
that's
the
whole movie.
This guy is like Superman. I mean, to overpower this guy, it's like any human being would have gone. I mean, they had to pad the movie. Would have gone down, you know, 2 minutes earlier than when he goes.
And they have the world's two worst guns in this sequence because they both misfire.
But that's a true story,
though. I guess it all really happened, but that doesn't make it good.
Well, Clint Eastwood. I there are some Clint Eastwood films that are just great. I mean, he's just a great director, you know, in certain films, but I don't know if this is just a misfire like the gun, or if this is, you know, the guy's 87. Is he, you know, without trying to sound too
No. I think he can still make good movies. I think he got seduced by this thing. But as you were saying, true stories aren't told truly. Like Dom Herrera is a great comedian, and he used to say other comics are always going true story, and he's like, why don't you make up something that's funny? So in this case, I really wish we'd had a Hollywoodization of this movie instead of a shot-by-shot recreation of what actually happened.
I agree with you, and I think that it comes to that old adage. You know, a lot of times you hear somebody tell a story, and you go, wow, that would make a great movie. But in reality, it might not make a great movie.
Well, Clint Eastwood disagrees with us, and he spoke to Bill.
And he said he saw a lot of actors, and he auditioned some real actors for these parts. But then he kept looking back at the pictures of the real guys.
And I kept looking at their faces, going over this, and finally one day I just said, do you guys think you could play yourselves? And they kind of went, oh, I don't know about that. And then finally, the more they thought about it, the more they got with it. And it turned out that they had a lot of natural gift.
Well, what's he going to say? They didn't pull it off. They weren't wonderfully cast. Apparently, these kids...
They didn't make my day.
I don't know if it's true.
I remember there was this movie, and they had this film critic, and they had him played by a real film
critic.
That guy
nobody
was
saw
good,
that.
But he was good, that guy.
No, he's like talking about you. They're not talking about Steve. He's talking about you.
I know. Talking about me. Did you think he was good?
15-17 to Paris.
As a film critic.
Well, you know what? They're talking for about the movie Top 5.
I will tell you
that. And Chris Rock played a fictitious character, if you saw the movie. And they didn't write me any dialogue. They just gave me the background on what this fake movie was.
And
this character that Chris
like the brilliant comedians
was.
That work and, on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Neil Rosen fashioned his own words. I asked Chris
why he didn't write dialogue, and he goes, because I can't write a better critic or interviewer than you.
I can't be as good a Neil Rosen as Neil Rosen.
He said, you know, which is, well, you know, I've done thousands of these junkets, so basically, okay, here's the fake movie, here's what the fake character is, and I approached it like I was doing a real interview at a real
junket. Listen, I'm going to say something serious. Neil did a great job playing Neil, and if you listen to this podcast or know him, you absolutely have to rent the movie and watch it. It's
Top
a fun
five.
Scene.
Yeah, there's a good movie.
But I could write Neil dialogue. I think
we all can.
That's interesting.
Wait, what? There's my Neil impression. So, all right, look.
Who wasn't listening
repeat
today,
that.
Bill?
I'm sorry, what?
Listen, I heard, Bill Bregoli, that these – I don't know if it's true or not – that these three guys who star in the 15-17 to Paris – approached Clint Eastwood and said, we did this thing. Could you make a movie about us? And
really?
He said, yeah, that's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or it's some PR spin machine came up with that. You know?
Well, so
I
mean,
you
they know, were heroes and then they weren't.
What they did is pretty fantastic. And I think the contrast, again, like I said, on paper, it probably seems stronger than it was on screen. On paper, you know.
Which is not how it's supposed to be.
They had kind of a mundane life.
When we go to the movies.
Well,
we don't sit in a movie and go, I wish I could have read this instead.
There's an entire sequence where one guy who's kind of, I call him the heavyset guy of the trio, tries to enlist in the armed forces. I mean, and he doesn't quite make the grade, as they say. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have been more like bored with what the hell that
well,
was.
Well, no, I definitely, that was not the most boring scene. The most boring scene was really them, amazingly enough, in Europe, was just...
Yeah, going touring.
Yeah, be going touring because you kept waiting because...
Take a selfie of me.
When we're used to seeing movies, and when you're in a movie, you know, there's this unconscious, you know, second act, third act, you know, point where, plot point. And none of that happens because it's playing out like real life, and real life is really not that interesting.
Here's my imitation of the movie, which happens about 20 times in the movie. Okay, one of the guys goes over to a tourist somewhere in Europe. Could you take a picture of me, please? We don't have a selfie stick. You know, we'd like to take a picture. I mean, they do it in Amsterdam. They do it in Berlin. I mean, it's like we're like Bill said with his elevator comparison. We're watching people taking selfies.
As boring as Neil's little story is right now, the movie is that boring.
That's what I'm saying.
All I'm going to say in its defense is that our colleague Roger Friedman wrote a nice piece about it. He came to the same screening we did. He said A.O. Scott feels the same way, that this is middle America. It has strong Christian values. People will go to this thing because they're proud of the three guys, and I'm proud of the three guys.
Yeah,
but not
the,
of
I
their
don't
acting.
Wants their act of heroism is great.
Well, I didn't think it was bad as you guys thought. I do not think it's a successful experiment on that level, but I didn't.
Bill Bregoli, having the three of us, Bill McCuddy and I, hating it.
Yeah.
And
do I want to see it now?
Being pretty mediocre on it. Do you have any interest in seeing this? This thing came on, you know, on HBO, and you were just flipping around. Would you watch this thing? Would you have any interest in watching this thing?
Maybe out of professional curiosity, and also because years ago I went on one of those trains. Those trains are cool. Those trains do 100.
Is that the bullet train?
It's TGV, train.
Yeah,
TGV,
the French.
They are fast.
Yeah.
They are fast, and they feel like an airplane. And when they open the door, it is almost like they were pressurized. You hear the
right. Hey, speaking of fast, this podcast is just zoomed by. But, you saw Peter Rabbit as well, right?
I did see Peter Rabbit. And can I just say this? I went in thinking, I brought a couple kids. Loved it. Thought it was excellent.
Could adults enjoy? Is it one of those Pixar
adults
things?
Adults absolutely enjoy it.
Without kids, could adults enjoy this thing?
The thing about Pixar is that Pixar raised the bar for animated films. And they did it about 15 years ago. So animated films, in general... are
this isn't Pixar.
But this isn't Pixar. This is Matt. Pixar. This is live action and.
This is live action and anime, and it's
who is
really
this? Universal.
Really
or?
It is Universal, and I have to say, it really, really works. I highly not Universal.
Why do you
it's Sony?
What,
Sony.
What is what? Give me the
Rose Byrne.
Well, it works.
Rose
because
Byrne doing for her finally a native. You know, British accent. Right. He's always doing an American accent.
I think
good
it works
point,
on
yeah.
a lot of levels. It works as a children's story because, you know, we see these rabbits, you know, come to life and what their life is like and fight with the farmer and all that. And, you know, it's funny.
I'm
it's
looking
clever.
For rabbits.
It's funny. It's clever. It's self-aware. And it even it breaks the third wall in some ways, which I don't want to give away. I have to say, it's a complete surprise. Go see it, and you will be surprised.
Shocking.
If you read the books.
And then Dom Hill Gleason, right? Is he the guy that's
no, yeah. James Corden.
James Corden.
As I said, James Corden is the James Corden, the talk
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
James
Corden. Yeah.
Well, he's not a talk show guy. He became a talk show guy. He's
do
a,
they get? Do a, the he and the rabbits get in a car and do a karaoke guy. Thing ever?
No, but they do get in a car.
Okay.
We'll say that. But it's good. It's an adventure and it's fun.
I want to talk about some TV shows that I caught up with that are.
How about
old,
one of them? Because, boy, we're really short of time.
Yeah, but you know.
We're going to compress time now.
The thing is, a lot of people don't. There's so many shows, even if they haven't just come out, the fact is they are worth watching, even if they came out a while ago. And one
even
of the ones that
on
I.
CUNY, you mean?
That I. Excuse me?
Even if they're on CUNY?
Well. I'm going to talk about a Netflix show that I just caught up with, which I think is real good. And if you haven't seen Ozark, which stars Jason Bateman and Laura Linney, and it's not as good as Breaking Bad, but it's that same kind of idea, although this one is set in the Ozarks, obviously, from the title, as opposed to New Mexico, which is where Breaking Bad was. But it's, you know, you got this family in Breaking Bad that was, you know, the guy was making meth, and here you got a money launderer guy who's got, like, a family and two kids, and, you know, kind of seems like
he's
a normal...
He's forced in the first episode to go to the Ozarks, get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, they're living in Chicago.
And start making a lot of money for the mob, and he comes up with this plan. I got to tell you, the idea is much more interesting than the execution. There are a couple of standout performances, one by a young woman in the movie who turns out in the series who's a real piece of work, and her turn is amazing. But
well,
I
that
gotta
actress
tell you,
was also in she had a very big prominent role for a few episodes in The Americans. And
she's
very
good.
How many episodes is Ozark?
I think it's eight. Isn't it eight?
No,
or 12.
It's 10 episodes, and it's one season. And the second season is going to come back this mid-July. But, you know, people always say that there's so much stuff on television, and I don't know what to watch. And, again, I'm not saying anything is on the level of Breaking Bad, because to me that's the greatest show in the history of television for one-hour dramas.
Wow.
But I'd say, as Bill said to me on the phone the other day, Bill McCuddy, he goes, it's a good solid B+. And I would agree with you on that,
he
Bill.
He directed it as well, right?
Directed many of the episodes.
Yeah.
But I'd say your B+ is pretty good. We're Breaking
Wait,
Bad's
who,
an
A+. Who directed many of the episodes?
Jason Bateman
oh, stars
Ozark?
In it. I'm sorry,
oh.
yeah, stars
but
in it.
But Jason Bateman,
yeah.
we know, is a
so
good
he's
director.
Producing this too, right?
Yeah.
I think I'd read
As
yes.
Bill loves that Spelling Bee movie.
I love that.
I love
Bad Words.
Bad Words.
Love
and he,
that.
And I like
Rent
that
right
movie
now.
And that he directed, and the name escapes me. It was the family.
The Skeleton Twins?
No, the family something. It's with Christopher Walken.
With Christopher Walken. The Family Fang?
The Family Fang.
Family Fang.
Right.
Oh, yeah, where those people were illusionists or perform. They punked people.
Right.
Basically.
Christopher
yeah.
Walken and whoever played his wife by punked people and the kids, one of them played by Jason Bateman, had to live their whole life not knowing whatever their parents
then
were
they,
them.
Then parents go missing and everybody
yeah,
thinks
that's
maybe
a,
this
so
is another
a good
scam.
Recommendation. The Family Fang is good. Bad Words is good. We're doing the Jason Bateman promo here.
Yeah.
And Ozark is it's not funny because Jason Bateman from the Hogan family started out as like a comedic actor. But Quick Change is another good Jason Bateman film with
no, that's not Jason Bateman.
Sure it is. Isn't it
Quick
Ryan?
Quick Change?
Quick
that's
Change.
Bill Murray that's, and
no, not Quick Change. The one with Ryan
Bob
Reynolds.
Cat Goldthwait.
Ryan Reynolds and Jason
Oh,
Bateman.
Where they change bodies?
They change bodies.
Yeah, that's not Quick Change.
Yeah, that's
something stupid.
Change Up? the Change Up?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that.
And,
change up. I remember
and Leslie Mann's in it, and that's another good joke. He didn't direct that one. But I like Jason Bateman.
I like Jason Bateman.
And he's
a lot.
Not funny in this, but he's very good in this. He's this methodical, brilliant money launderer.
All right, what's next week? Next week we got the Oscars, right? We're going to finally give our Oscar predictions?
Next week we have Black Panther.
We got Black Panther.
Oh, Black Panther.
Am I going to be on that
oh,
show?
Oh, man. man.
Would you like?
Do you want to call in?
Of course.
You can.
We love racist stereotypes. Please call in for the Black Panther.
You know, Black Panther.
You can. You could be here for Black Panther. Mike Sargent.
I hear amazing things about this. I have not been to the.
My prediction, and this, and I've said this before, but I predict that, you know, Black Panther, it's a Marvel thing, but it's all comic books are science fiction. And I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but black science fiction now is called Afrofuturism.
And Afrofuturism?
You probably never heard of it white. But Afrofuturism,
I have
trust
now.
Me on this, is really going to take over. Because science fiction, we've seen every regurgitation, every reboot, every redo of everything you can possibly imagine on film and TV of technically white science fiction.
Right.
What about Black Mirror?
Well, Black Mirror.
Blade.
Again, the wave I'm talking about.
Such a white guy thing. No, there was Blade. There was one.
No, Black Mirror is not. It's not Afro. No, what's
not
the term?
Afrofuturism.
No, but the point I'm making, it has the word black in it. It's new and innovative.
Black science fiction is what I'm saying. But Afrofuturism. The point I'm making is that good science fiction has something to say about the human condition, and black folks have plenty to say and have not had the opportunity to say it. The joke has always been in science fiction films that the black character dies first.
Right.
And that's been an unconscious.
So in Black Panther, does the white guy die really early? That would be great.
I don't know.
That would be so great.
Let me just say this. I think it'll be groundbreaking. I think it's going to change the game. I think we're going to see a lot. Black Lightning, Luke Cage, that's just tip of the iceberg.
That'll cross over.
We're going to review it. And you want to join us next week?
I'll join you.
Black Panther next week.
But I want to do it at Bill Bregoli's because he has bagels.
Bill
Bregoli. I'll bring bagels. Okay. How's that?
He'll bring them.
All right. We can do
all
that.
All right.
All right. Anyway, so just to reiterate, Valentine's Day, Tuesday night at 8:00, Arts in the City on Channel 75 in New York.
Is if that you have Valentine's,
but more importantly, we'll get you the website because
and
that's
Channel
the way.
Channel 30, if you have Verizon,
people listening around the country can't hear it.
We will get you the links. Follow us on Twitter, and I will tell you where it is. But by the way, also just so you know,
here's another arcane piece of information.
No.
Talk about our Twitters.
If you have over the air broadcast.
What is that?
It's the old fashioned rabbit ears.
We've given out more misinformation in this show than Tokyo Rose, and this is
over the air broadcast.
Well, why do you make everything so difficult? The simple thing.
All right, fine.
We'll give you a link.
Follow us on Twitter, and we'll send you a link.
I'm at Bill McCuddy. Mike Sargent is
Mike on Screen.
Mike on Screen.
I'm at Neil Rose and Apples. Bill Bregoli has yet to discover social media, but he edits our show brilliantly every week, writes those wonderful blurbs on Blog Talk Radio, and records this for us every week and gets those great interviews, and as well as his insights, gives those great interviews that we have in the show every week. So for Bill Bregoli and Bill McCuddy and Mike Sargent and me, Neil Rosen, check out Talking Movies.
And Lisa Rossman joined us.
And Lisa Rossman, yes, thank you very much. Thanks for sitting around Talking Movies with us, and we'll sit around Talking Movies again with you next week. We'll